Well, we turn again this evening to the Epistle to the Galatians. Galatians, and particularly reading from chapter 6. Galatians and chapter 6. We're continuing on in this final part of the doctrines of grace from this word tulip, from which we get the teachings of the faith symbolized in this word: total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and this final part, last but not least, the perseverance of the saints. Yes, that the child of God who's begun this great race shall complete it, as we saw last time. And we read here from chapter 6 of this letter to the Galatians, and we're going to read from verses 1 to 10. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfil the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Weary in the flesh, but not in the spirit. That is the title of the message tonight. Weary in the flesh, but not in the flesh. Sorry, weary in the flesh, but not in the spirit. We should take for our passage this evening, especially this verse 10. Sorry, this verse 9. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In this passage here, as we look particularly at the perseverance of the saints, that the people of God, the true elect of God, will keep going to the end. No matter how many battles have to be gone through, no matter how many battles with sin within, sin without, the devil tempting this way and that, persecutions, troubles, trials, the people of God will keep going to the end. God has promised it is so. We see here this verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap of the flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. In context with the whole of this book, this is talking about sowing to the flesh of the works of the flesh, religious works of the flesh. So many people read this letter to the Galatians and they miss the whole point. They think they read these verses out of context and I think this is just talking about the flesh in general, is talking about in context sowing works according to the flesh, that our faith somehow is dependent upon us doing something. And if it is, it shall reap corruption. If we sown to the flesh, if our faith is according to the flesh, if our flesh is according to our own effort, if we've done something, then we're surely going to fail at the end. Because we will fail always. Because the flesh profits nothing. You see, weariness, weakness, to be faint-hearted is a natural thing which overcomes all flesh at times. All flesh. It overcomes. It overcomes our flesh. That's just a fact, isn't it? We all know weariness. It comes to mind right now that on a Friday when we're just about to embark upon the outreach club that we do for the teenagers, we pray before. And many of the time I thought to myself, I'm praying wrongly here when I've prayed that we would be strengthened. That's not quite correct, because we got no strength in us. And my mind in that prayer was too fleshly in thinking, because we're at the end of the week, we're knowing our tiredness in the flesh, and we're praying that we would be strengthened. Okay, God may strengthen us physically and keep us going, but that's not going to have any bearing spiritually on anything. Yes, there are times when we need to be strengthened physically, but that's not ultimately what we need. We need the spiritual uplifting of our God, who carries us on those eagle's wings, as we just read in Isaiah 40, in spite of our weakness in the flesh. Now, this passage of God's word, as I said, comes in context with the overall teaching from the apostle to the churches in Galatia, that having begun in the faith, born again of the Spirit and made alive, they should resist all attempts to make them, all attempts to make them depend upon works of any persuasion of any kind to keep them in the faith and perfect them in the faith. To resist it all. Whatever direction it comes from that would suggest that they must do this, they must do that, and by doing this and by doing that they can somehow perfect themselves in the faith and make themselves righteous, sanctify themselves, cannot be done. The Spirit of God has already taught in Galatians 3 verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? What was the need of the Spirit? That's paraphrasing. What was the need of the Spirit in the beginning? If you're perfected by the flesh, you can begin in the flesh. If you've been born again, if you continue in spiritual life by the flesh, that means you can cause yourself to be born again without the Spirit. And the Spirit depends upon you rather than you the Spirit. This indeed is the battleground, isn't it? Many people talk about new birth. Many people talk about grace. Many people talk about faith. Many people say, yes, you must be born again. But they teach a teaching which is very hard to spot sometimes unless you be listening for it, which suggests, do this, believe this, choose that, then you're born again. I ask you, if anyone suggested in the physical realm, if anyone suggested in the physical realm in this life that somehow they approached their biological father and mother and they said, I want to be conceived. I want to be born. And then they were born. And then they said, well, yes, my mother and my father had something to do with it, but I instigated it. You would think them crazy to say such a thing, wouldn't you? Well, the Lord Jesus does not give these illustrations from the natural realm for no reason. Just as he says, my sheep, and he says, goats, who are not my people. Goats don't become sheep don't become goats. We know that from the natural realm. And we know that someone must be born of an outside influence. You can't be born unless there was an influence from somewhere else. And so the same with being born again. It is the Spirit who gives life. Nothing of ourselves. And so having begun in the Spirit, how can you remain perfect in the flesh? The works of the law and legalism play no part, absolutely no part, in creating, to begin with, creating faith to begin with, nor sustaining and keeping in faith. Works of legalism and law have no part to play. Had there been a law that gave life, it would have been so, wouldn't it? So firstly, we see here, in context with the passage, let us not be weary in well-doing. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Working those works of faith, which are described here particularly, here in their outworking as to fulfill the law of Christ. This is the only law that we're under, the law of Christ, the law, the perfect law of liberty, the gospel law. The love for Christ and the love for his people. That's the law of Christ. The love for Christ and the love for his people. And as the text here speaks of bearing one another's burdens, see also verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith, especially to those who are our brothers and sisters in the faith. This is a characteristic. This is the whole point here. This is a characteristic. This is a characteristic of God's people. This isn't just a command in the sense that the commands from the Mosaic law, that no one could keep that law. That law, each one of those laws, they showed sin. By the law is the knowledge of sin. This isn't a law of works. This is the law of grace. It's not the same law. It's that which is working in us. It's written on our hearts. We just need to see that in Hebrews chapter 7. Jeremiah the prophet says this. I will write my laws in their hearts and in their minds. It's a characteristic of God's people. It's who we are. As the Lord Jesus told us, a new commandment I give unto you. It's not a commandment that we cannot do. It's a commandment that flows from a heart set free by Christ. that you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. It's an evidence. He doesn't say, love one another that all men know. Love one another so that they can know. They shall know. Because it flows from the child of God. To some degree or another, it flows from the child of God. If you have love one for another. John 13:34-35. He who loves me keeps my commands. Secondly, and curiously, we have here in our text what appears to be a questioning of whether God's people will keep going to the end and whether they will indeed inherit eternal life. If you read it in a certain way, if you read it unbiblically, if you read it on its own, if you read it out of context. The apostle says to the church at Philippi, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making a request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defence and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my grace. Philippians 1:4-7. And yet our text says, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. But to the child of God, to the true child of God, these words are not fearful words. The word if is not a fearful statement here. It's not a hypothetical. It's actually a definite statement when read in the context of the whole passage. Of course, when we read of God's elect having begun in the Spirit, that means they had nothing to do with that faith. Although the very act of faith, we must acknowledge and we must stress the very act of faith, we must exercise it. We must exercise it. We don't just sit back and God does it. We exercise it. Our will is being conformed to his will and we believe. We do exercise this faith, for sure. Yet, this faith, it is God's gift. Ephesians 2. Now, it is by grace you are saved through faith, and that faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. The proof we have begun in the Spirit, in the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Or as we read here in Galatians 6:8, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. These are definites. These are definites. And so thirdly, see this. The importance of the fact that our perseverance depends upon nothing of ourselves. We've already seen this when we looked a couple of weeks ago. He who endures to the end shall be saved, the Lord Jesus said. Well, the ones who endure to the end are those who are saved, who are the called according to his purpose. it is impossible that we cannot persevere. It depends on nothing of ourselves, neither can anything of ourselves do it. There's nothing in us. There's nothing in us, in our fleshly nature, that wants to do it. There's nothing, if we are really honest, we have nothing in our flesh that wants to follow God. If anyone says that they do, they're a liar. Because our flesh, in our flesh, dwells no good thing. And our flesh is always at work, and that which is in our flesh is always at work, rearing its ugly head. It is always waging war upon our new nature, the spiritual side, that loves God, that cannot sin, that does not want to sin, that hates sin. Our text speaks of not being weary in well-doing. Not being weary in well-doing. Now this being weary, here in the text, the word translated weary speaks of a failing. A failing. Now all God's work is perfect. All the works of God are perfect. And so if we be God's workmanship, if we be God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, they cannot fail. They cannot fail because they are the works of God. As we've just read in Philippians 1. It speaks of failing. Now the only ones who fail in this well-doing, in this keeping going to the end, specifically here in these good deeds towards the fellow believer, but the good deeds of faith, of believing unto the end, because here is what our text is telling us, shall reap everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Through faith on him. If we keep going in this good work of faith, we cannot fail. Yes, the only ones who fail in this well-doing, these good works, which God hath, as I've just read, have before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. The only ones ultimately failing in these good works are those who are not of the workmanship of God. They are not God's people. Who are not God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. For see, this perseverance and failing not to walk by faith this work of perseverance and this not failing to walk by faith, ultimately. Now, I'm not talking about doubts or no doubts. I'm talking about faith. You know very well where I stand on doubt. Faith is exercised more greater when you have a doubt. But those such as are not failing to walk by faith, it is completely the work of God in us. It is Christ in us, the hope of glory. See the key phrase here in our text that reassures us throughout all our failings in the flesh. Yes, we are in the flesh in this life. We fail in the flesh. But that which believes, that which is the good work in us, hasn't been sown to our flesh. And therefore doesn't fail. Because there is a new nature in us. There is a new man. Verse 8,
But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Certainly, as you did not begin in the flesh, by any choice you or another made for you, but were born of God, so indeed you will continue on. You will. You will continue on unhindered. I pondered that as I wrote that word. Now, when I say unhindered, I don't mean without trouble. I don't mean without opposition, within and without. I don't mean without doubts and fears, without troubles in the heart, without even falling into sin. Unhindered. By the word unhindered, I mean nothing can hold it back. Nothing can stop the march of Christ and his church. And so you will continue on unhindered from your faith ending. Unhindered from that which is the end of your faith, life everlasting. Nothing's going to stop that. Nothing's going to hold that back. Nothing's hindering that. For remember the words in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. But as many as received him, Christ, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, which were past tense. The scriptures are quite simple to those who have the Spirit of Christ. They were past tense, then they received Christ, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We've come back full circle to this point, where indeed we cannot make ourselves born again. But we come through faith, we're given faith to receive the benefits of it, that we receive the adoption as sons. We have sown unto the Spirit, we're told here. Sown unto the Spirit in our text here in Galatians 6. Sown unto the Spirit, trusting Christ, not by our strength, but of God's strength alone. Of God's strength. Underline the word of. It's very important here. Of God's strength. Of God's power. See the words here very carefully. They can be so easily missed in this text. In verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. It is the Spirit who does it. It's the Spirit who has done it. And it's the Spirit who will complete it. So is the elect of God trusting Christ alone? Trusting Christ alone, we can say with full assurance, with absolute assurance of faith, with Paul the Apostle in 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. This man was about to say to Timothy, I've finished the race. I've finished the course. There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. I've finished the course set out for me.
as all will, as all the elect of God do, and they will. Whenever that course finishes, they will finish it. For the which cause I also suffer these things, the cause of the gospel. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. I know him. I know the Lord Jesus. I know the Saviour. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. That day, that day of judgment, that day when he shall judge the living and the dead. I shall be found in him, as he says in Philippians 3, that I may be found in him, that I may be found in Christ, having not my own righteousness, which is of the flesh. Which is of the law. But the righteousness which is in Christ Jesus. He says, I am able to keep that for which I've committed unto him against that day. For which cause? The cause of the gospel. For what cause? What is the cause? What is the cause that he held so dear? It is this. In verse 9, our God is he who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I think the more, even just now, just thinking of it, the more I just ponder those words. I never cease to marvel at them. Because it doesn't just say we were chosen in Christ Jesus, which it does indeed in Ephesians 1, which is glorious in itself. But to our puny finite minds, we cannot comprehend truly these things yet. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. If it was given to us before the world began, surely we are not going to fail. We are not going to be weary in this world doing. We are going to receive the end of our faith, everlasting life. Because it's already been given to us. To some people that's too simple, too simplistic. You've got to lay this upon people's backs to make sure, to keep them in check that they're in the faith. Let them do that. My God says, it was given me. It was given me. That which I don't have yet was given me. That which I don't taste fully yet was given me in Christ before the world began. That's enough for me. Because of the Spirit we've begun, sowing to the Spirit, of the Spirit, and so of the Spirit we reap life everlasting. Therefore, we shall not grow weary. We shall not fail in the Spirit. But we shall finish the course. We shall keep going. We shall see everlasting life.